when we support big ag or industrial agriculture, we're deteriorating the topsoil, polluting the environment, we're spraying pesticides, we're killing insect, bug, reptile populations through tilling. I'm a huge advocate for organic and regenerative agricultural practices. A couple people have come up to me at farmers markets and told me that they love cashew parm so much that when they wake up at 2 a.m. with a craving, they take a spoon and they literally scoop a mouthful into their mouth and then go back to bed.
What's one thing about yourself that as a founder has changed the most, you know, something that you tell your past self?
I do think that it is a bit of a lonely journey when you're a solo entrepreneur. So curating your community and your network, attending various networking events and opportunities, extremely critical to kind of keeping your sanity and also growing your company and expanding.
All right, welcome to the Duck Bond Podcast, where we see how brands get their wings. Here we have the founder of Farmer Foodie, the woman behind shelf-stable cashew parm that's dairy-free, gluten-free, and built for flavor and sustainability. She went from an organic farm educator to getting her products into Whole Foods. Let's dig into how she did it. Ali, it's a pleasure to have you on.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So I wanted to start off with the origins of Farmer Foodie. I know you started off as a blog, right? How did that look like, and what inspired you to transition from blog to an actual product?
So when I was the education director at McEnroe Organic Farm in upstate New York for 4 years, I was using all of the produce that I had grown from seed to harvest to make all of these delicious dishes for family, for friends. Food truly is my love language, so I was just encouraged by my community to create Farmer Foodie, a plant-forward food blog. That was one of the best decisions that I decided to, you know, move forward with. It was actually January 1st, 2020 that I decided to do this sort of like, you know, New Year's resolution. And my whole platform was about bringing consumers, bringing individuals, people that love food, various plant-forward recipes that are not just, you know, made with plants, but also sustainable for the environment, sustainable from a health perspective as well. And from there, I actually decided to pursue my MBA in social impact from Brandeis University in Waltham, Massachusetts, which is where I'm still located. And throughout graduate school, I had various entrepreneurial, you know, endeavor ideas, built out various financial models, and ultimately settled on cashew parm as our product line just because I felt, you know, the dairy-free cheese industry was sort of missing products that were super versatile and also flavor forward while also really good for consumers.
And how did you land on cheese out of all of the things? I know a couple guests have actually really explored the dairy aisle, and from previous guests, they have mentioned that there's so much room for opportunity and growth. But how did you reach that conclusion yourself?
My mac and cheese sauce recipe was one of my favorites during graduate school and COVID. So, of course, I was, you know, cooking all of my own meals at home. I really wasn't going out during the pandemic. And I would make myself my vegan mac and cheese recipe every Thursday, eat it for a couple of days. And it got a lot of traction on our social media platforms, on our website. It just felt like me, sort of almost as a consumer, wanted a product like cashew parm that was flavor forward. So we have two flavors, golden cheddar and Italian herb. Golden cheddar, if you add water, you can mix it into a mac and cheese sauce, a queso, or a spread, 2 minutes or less. The Italian herb flavor, you can mix into an Alfredo dip or ricotta. So ultimately, being a vegetarian for the last 13 years and aspiring vegan, so pretty much I'm vegan at home, vegetarian when I go out, cashew parm has been a staple in my life and has really enabled me to stay vegan at home and vegan for the majority of the time because it does satisfy those cravings for cheese. Ultimately, it was really the fact that I've been vegetarian for 13 years and couldn't really find products that fully satiated me from a cheese craving perspective and just knew that these recipes I was creating were super popular and that this is a growing industry, this is a growing market. And, you know, this was kind of an untapped category. So Farmer Foodie has actually trademarked cashew parm. So, you know, you think eggplant parmesan, eggplant parm, chicken parm. It kind of just felt like a natural trajectory for me.
I love that. And I love how a lot of your personal inspirations have led you to creating this Parmesan cheese. So you do come from an organic farm education. You know, you've had a hand in recipe development and sustainable food. I wanted to explore how those early inspirations also helped you shape Farmer Foodie, you know, with your approach on ethics and ingredients, and how being vegetarian also influenced all of this.
Originally, when I became a vegetarian, it was in between my freshman and sophomore summer of undergraduate school. And it was the best decision I could have made for myself because I'm very passionate about the environment and climate change and, of course, animal rights. I will say ultimately climate change was the thing that sort of pushed me over the edge. So me as an individual, you know, my footprint is just historically lower than other people. I don't use paper towels. I only use reusable towels. So I try and be as sustainable as possible from a lifestyle perspective day to day. And in undergrad, I minored in sustainability studies. I felt that the agriculture section of the environmental science course that I took was the most interesting. So when I graduated, I actually woofed its worldwide opportunities on organic farms in Alaska for 3 months. So worked on various homesteads, kind of got to see various practices for CSAs, community-supported agriculture, you know, hoop houses, greenhouses, how things are grown on a smaller scale and then distributed to the community. So really, sustainability has been a huge part of my life as an individual, and that transfers to Farmer Foodie. I like to say we value the triple bottom line, people, planet, product, and put sustainability at the forefront of all business decisions. Historically, the triple bottom line is people, planet, profit. So I say product because our supply chain is extremely sustainable. So we source our cashews from Benin, Africa, second largest processing facility there. And our cashews are carbon negative when harvested. So cashew trees, they retain carbon stock, they're drought tolerant, they create shade coverage. So the tree itself takes in more carbon than is needed for it to produce, you know, its bounty. So from a supply chain perspective, our products are very sustainable. We source organic spices, and then we also use non-GMO nutritional yeast. I've really thought about our supply chain from day one and have looked into various cashew suppliers because that's the key ingredient, and feel as though Farmer Foodie is really, you know, putting our money where our mouth is, right? We are actually executing these practices that are benefiting consumer health and also the health of the environment.
I love that. I definitely want to dive into the whole supply chain system and the logistics in a bit. And I also do love the twist you guys have on the, you know, triple bottom line. You guys are very mission orientated and, you know, it just shows. So I want to dive into the recipe challenges a little bit. You have golden cheddar and Italian herb cashew parm, and they're shelf stable. They have no preservatives. How did you achieve that? And how do you balance texture with clean ingredients without that compromise?
That's a really great question. So when I was initially taking my homemade, you know, kitchen recipe and bringing it to our first manufacturing facility, which I do kind of say our first partner was more so a prototype manufacturer, so they didn't necessarily have the equipment to make our products on a larger scale, but it was a really great intro partner for about a year, year and a half, who helped us figure out, you know, how we would make these products at scale, how we can lower various costs associated with the products. So I'm very grateful for that. And since then, we've only scaled. We've only, you know, found new manufacturing partners that could lower our costs of goods sold And we also rebranded our product line. So when we rebranded, we were able to pitch more so to retailers, which was a really great experience for us. And now we're in 45 Whole Foods stores in the North Atlantic region. We're in Big Y. We're launching in other accounts. We're on Thrive Market, which is an online retailer, Amazon, a whole bunch of accounts.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I do want to touch about how did you achieve getting into Whole Foods? I know a lot of people, they kind of have their unique journey as to, you know, getting into retail. And what was that process like for you?
Whole Foods was a bit of a challenge, I will say. Of course, all natural products, brands, all better for you brands. Whole Foods is, you know, the MVP. You want to be in Whole Foods. I did apply maybe 3 or 4 times to their category review schedules, to the LEAP program, trying to get into Whole Foods. Ultimately, I think it's about networking. So if there are various, you know, sort of consumer packaged goods, community groups or organizations, like Naturally, for example, has chapters all throughout the United States, Texas, California, New England, New York, and they support, they're a nonprofit that supports consumer packaged goods, products, brands, founders, startups. And through them, I really networked with my buyer at Whole Foods. So once you kind of get on the map or sort of, you know, are known to the buyer, I think being very diligent, strategic with communications, don't overwhelm them, but also don't let them forget about your products. Whole Foods has a category review schedule. So our category is pasta sauce. Since we're shelf-stable Parmesan, we sit next to dairy-based shelf-stable Parmesan. That's technically the pasta sauce category. It actually took me a few years to realize that that was our category. So I had been applying to the spice category, to the vegan cheese category. And finally, through networking with our Whole Foods buyer, found out pasta sauce is in fact our category. So, you know, being flexible, open, communicative, friendly, meeting people, asking the right questions, taking notes, that really goes a long way. And that's how I found success from a retail perspective thus far.
That's incredible. How did it feel like seeing, you know, your flavors on the shelf for the first time in Whole Foods? Since it sounds like it's quite an achievement.
It felt fantastic. It really did. And it still does. And it's just really fun to see something that you created on the shelves of such a, you know, iconic retailer like Whole Foods. I've also been doing a lot of demos at Whole Foods throughout the last few months. Basically, I guess the last year since we launched in January. And, you know, it's just nice to touch base with consumers. And sometimes the consumers I'm demoing to are shocked that it's my company, which is also kind of fun. You know, it's like my secret power.
I love that. I do want to get into how do people react to this alternative? I know it might be probably challenging getting people to take this quote unquote alternative to traditional Parmesan.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So I do think it's very interesting because I've been selling at farmers markets. I've been demoing at Whole Foods. I demo at specialty stores, smaller local stores. And I think it's a common misconception that our consumer base would be vegan vegetarians, because a lot of our consumers, they're flexitarians. They're people that are looking to introduce more plant-powered products into their day-to-day, but they're also flavor-forward consumers. They're foodies. They're people that love to engage in new flavor profiles. So I've learned through my consumer network that a lot of people are actually using cashew parm as sort of like a scrub on fish or a panko parm type crusting on chicken. And it just goes to show how versatile our product line is and how the flavors can sort of, you know, expand beyond just vegetables, salads, potatoes, you know, pizza, and actually incorporate, you know, meat eaters and what they really enjoy to consume.
I love that. So you got immediate reaction, immediate feedback from a lot of positive feedback from your consumers. What's one reaction that, you know, you'll never forget, or has someone, you know, sent you a DM saying like, hey, this tastes incredibly delicious?
A couple people have come up to me at farmers markets and told me that they love cashew parm so much that when they wake up at 2 a.m. with a craving, they take a spoon and they literally scoop a mouthful into their mouth and then go back to bed.
It's an amazing.
Those are the diehard cheese, you know, lovers, I would say. But that also goes to show that those diehard cheese lovers love cashew parm and understand that cashew parm is really beneficial for their health as well.
Yeah, you know, it's not entirely intuitive that I would think, you know, cashew parmesan was even a thing, but, you know, it's sounds delicious. Your consumers love it. And just from this short conversation already, I kind of want to buy my own and try it out. So shifting the conversation a little bit to the sustainability, I know sustainability is a core value for you guys, from, you know, your sourcing to packaging. Can you share one decision that made you say that, hey, this is a non-negotiable for me, no matter the costs?
Ultimately, it's organic, right? So someone who has experience and a background with organic agriculture, organic education, I wanted our products to be organic. I know that there's huge value, not just for you as the consumer, but also for the environment. You know, when we support big ag or industrial agriculture, we're deteriorating the topsoil, we're polluting the environment, we're spraying pesticides, we're killing insect, bug, reptile populations through tilling. And I am just a huge supporter of organic agriculture, regenerative organic. Ideally, our products aren't necessarily regenerative organic just because of the ingredients, you know, required to make them, which is virtually cashews, nutritional yeast, and spices. But I'm a huge advocate for organic and regenerative agricultural practices.
I love that, you know, putting money where your mouth is, as you mentioned before. Moving from small batch to scaling, I'm sure it brought on a lot of challenges. What's one operational surprise that really tested you, maybe distribution, shelf life, that you didn't anticipate?
Our shelf life is pretty great. So it's 18 months, a year and a half from time of production. Our products are lightweight as well, which is fantastic for the e-commerce channel, you know, e-tailer channel. We're very strategically aligned to, you know, distribute online since our products don't have to be refrigerated. What was the question?
Yeah, so any supply chain or logistical issues that you encountered or challenges while you were scaling your brand?
The challenge for me specifically has been minimum order quantities. So searching for a co-manufacturer that can actually produce our products at scale with consistent unit economics, so our price point is always the same, that has been the biggest challenge. I will say a lot of co-manufacturers, they don't advertise their services online. So you kind of have to like really do a deep dive search to find the right manufacturer for you. And then going off of that, you know, it's not just about the manufacturing, it's about the bottling. So do they have a machine to actually put labels on our jars? Do they have a machine for the heat sealed lids? It's a bit of a process, I will say, to find a partner that can help you scale. And ultimately, when you're in a retailer like Whole Foods or on Thrive Market, you need to always have the same price. Otherwise, your margins are going to fluctuate. They're going to, you know, sometimes maybe you're losing money, sometimes you're making more money. So ultimately, I think having consistent pricing is really important. So finding that right manufacturer is very ideal.
No, yeah, definitely. I know a lot of our guests have previously spoken about their difficulties with finding a manufacturer. You know, a lot of these manufacturers are faceless. They're operate, you know, archaically. And we're actually aiming to change that. We're a packaging manufacturer and we're trying to, you know, bringing it to the younger generation, saying, hey, we have a face. Hey, we're here. We acknowledge the struggles that people can have. So there will be challenges when it comes to manufacturers, but I'm sure, you know, with enough persistence, it'll get through. So shifting the conversation a little bit to the future, if you could build a crazy flavor, new format for Farmer Foodie, what would it be? Or if you're experimenting with new flavors at the moment?
I love this question. So I, as a recipe developer, organic farm education manager, you know, having my MBA, I created all of our cashew parm recipes and, of course, brought them to the manufacturer. Had a little bit of help when it came to ultimately figuring out the blending process and that kind of stuff. But I feel very, you know, fortunate to have had the experience of creating my own recipes. In graduate school, I actually invited a bunch of my friends who are earning their MBA over, and we tested very strategically various recipes of the golden cheddar flavor initially, because my first idea was a boxed mac and cheese. I analyzed that industry and just felt that it was too saturated and the competition was too much for me. But it was really great to get formal feedback, you know, survey my friends and ultimately determine the recipe that was going to be golden cheddar. And from there, I decided to launch an Italian herb flavor. So initially, golden cheddar was sold as everything cheese with a Z. That was the name of the product in a stand-up bag. And it wasn't retail ready. It didn't articulate to consumers what the use case was. So we pivoted to cashew parm, went through a whole rebrand, and I launched Italian herb because Italian herb tastes a lot more like Parmesan than golden cheddar does. You know, cheddar kind of tastes like macaroni and cheese. Italian herb tastes like, you know, Alfredo. It tastes like zesty pizza in a jar. And there is an advantage to creating all of my own recipes. So I have various flavor ideas based off of consumer feedback. I think spicy buffalo could be the next flavor that we launch. But I will also say, I don't think consumers fully recognize or understand the amount of time, energy, and money it takes to launch a new flavor. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, which is fine. But I'll very oftenly get comments from people saying, when are you launching a new flavor? You know, da da da, we'd love to see this, we'd love to see that. But it's about supply chain. Yeah. So it's about supply chain, recipe development, nutritional facts panels, branding for the individual units. So, you know, if we were to launch a spicy buffalo flavor, Farmer Foodie would have to probably front at least a few thousand dollars, maybe let's say $3,000 to $5,000 to launch a new SKU. So ultimately, I just think about the trajectory of the business and how to diversify our product profiles, portfolio, but also when it makes sense to launch new flavors. So I'm actually thinking more so about packaging options. So since we're selling on Amazon, we could launch bulk bags of our current flavors versus selling the six packs, which is what we're currently doing as like our bulk option. A lot of customers who are used to everything cheese, the net weight was 7 ounces. Now it's 3.5 ounces. They have told me that they miss the bags. They would like a refillable format. So if Farmer Foodie were to do something new, it would likely be, you know, the new packaging format, new pricing for a bulk alternative.
I love that. There's definitely a lot of options when it comes to these kinds of toppings. And I guess that also does lead me to my next question. If there's, you know, any new toppings that you're exploring outside of Parmesan cheese, outside of the flavors, you know, maybe toppings, spices.
We're very focused on cashew parm. You know, we want to become even more well-known for cashew parm. It is an industry, you know, consumer packaged goods, you could easily get lost, right? So I had previously thought about, you know, launching maybe like a queso dip in the refrigerator section. that's a totally different category. Being a young brand, a solo entrepreneur, someone who's virtually doing all of this themselves, I do find, you know, that staying on one path, one trajectory, while also listening to consumer feedback and also, you know, any suggestions or industry feedback is the most strategic way for us to ideally become profitable at some point, you know, save money, use the money that we're making to reinvest into the business, expand into new retail locations. Right now, we're mainly in the Northeast from a retail perspective, New England, that area. But ultimately, you know, expand to, you know, other geographic regions in the U.S., brick and mortar, not just virtual, I guess, you know, online.
I love that, doubling down instead of spreading yourself too thin. So projecting yourself out 3 to 5 years from now in terms of reach, impacts, where do you see Farmer Foodie?
I do see Farmer Foodie expanding strategically into new Whole Foods market regions. They have been a great partner for us. Their local forager program is beneficial. There are less fees associated to be a local forager brand than a national brand or a brand that's in two or more regions. That being said, it does make sense for Farmer Foodie to continue to expand into new Whole Foods regions when the timeline, you know, kind of arises in a strategic way. So ultimately, I would say 5 years from now, Farmer Foodie ideally would be in all Whole Foods across the U.S. And we're also interested in expanding in the natural channels. So, you know, targeting retail accounts like Sprouts, the Fresh Market, Fresh Thyme Market, Roach Brothers, Publix, Wegmans. I do think at the end of the day, it's really difficult to get into retail accounts because these retailers are reviewing your category at a specific time. If you miss the deadline, if you're not informed, you're going to have to wait at least another year. So staying really diligent when it comes to tracking your category throughout key retail accounts is super important to expand. And I do say, you know, figuring out projections is a bit of a challenge in my opinion. You know, I've done it before and I continue to do it, but who's to say we're not going to launch in Sprouts nationwide next year, right? Like, I will say that's not happening right now, but who's to say it won't happen, right? Like it could all of a sudden you get an offer from Fresh Thyme Market. They want to launch you in 200 stores, 150 stores, and your projections are completely shifted. So it just, I find it interesting, this industry. It's kind of 80% of the time stick to your plan, 20% of the time evaluate opportunities and determine how to move forward.
I love that. It's very dynamic then. It's not just, you know, just a straightforward linear path. So looking back at when you first started, to give the viewers a little bit of insight and inspiration, what's one thing about yourself that as a founder has changed the most, you know, something that you'd tell your past self?
I do think that it is a bit of a lonely journey when you're a solo entrepreneur. So curating your community and your network, attending various networking events and opportunities is extremely critical to kind of keeping your sanity and also growing your company and expanding. So yeah, I would tell myself, you know, continue to network, continue to put yourself out there, build new relationships, connections, support other founders, brands. And I really do enjoy paying it forward. I've worked with various colleges, universities. Farmer Foodie has been a case study. You know, if somebody from a university reaches out to me asking for an informational interview, I say yes. Because I remember when I was at that point where I was interviewing, I don't know, 3 to 5 industry individuals each week to learn about various topics, and people donating their time to me really helped me push Farmer Foodie to the point where it is now and actually get Farmer Foodie off the ground.
I love that. Well, Ali, this has been an incredible conversation. Where can people find Farmer Foodie? Whole Foods, Amazon?
Indeed. Whole Foods in the North Atlantic, so New England region, mainly, I guess, Massachusetts. Big Y, Massachusetts, Connecticut, our own website, thefarmerfoodie.com, Amazon, specialty stores, and Thrive Market.
I love that. Well, Allison, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.